This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Analyzing debate number one. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Tuesday, September 27. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Clinton and Trump tangled in their first debate, challenging each other on a variety of issues. We'll examine their messaging and nonverbal communications.
Houston police have shot and killed a man who randomly opened fire near a shopping center, injuring nine people. Hear the suspected motive.
Following the police shooting death of a man in Charlotte, protesters are demanding the resignation of the mayor, city council, and police chief.
And mixing up medical records has become a serious health concern at hospitals.
Mixing up a patient can create all kinds of problems, and unfortunately, it's really very common despite all the efforts to correct it.
Wall Street Journal health writer Melinda Beck on why and how there are mix-ups with patient medical records and what's being done to correct them. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, in the first of three nationally televised debates, Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump used the stage at Hofstra University in New York to tackle issues like jobs and the economy, trade, government spending, and taxes.
We don't have the money because it's been squandered on so many of your ideas.
You haven't paid any federal income tax for a lot of years.
Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Trump. She had him on the defensive about not releasing his tax returns and the birther issue and wondered how he could relate to leaders in the Middle East.
Donald has consistently insulted Muslims abroad, Muslims at home, when we need to be cooperating with Muslim nations and with the American Muslim community.
Mr. Trump hit back about her deleted emails and how the inner cities got in such disrepair during her 30 years in politics. He also hinted that the world has become a more dangerous place during her time in politics.
Hillary will tell you to go to her website and read all about how to defeat ISIS.
The next debate is just 12 days from now, Sunday, October 9th, at Washington University in St. Louis. Let's get some debate analysis now from Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. He's with us live this morning. Morning, Olivier. Give us your takeaways.
Well, I'm more or less alive, actually. I think the really important thing is we don't know who won this debate. There's a lot of spot analysis. You see these totally garbage polls that come out in the minutes after a poll. Their margin of error is typically somewhere in the 10-point range. We don't know how this debate played out in the battleground states. We don't know how this debate played out with the target audience for either candidate. And we're not going to know this for a couple more days when the actual real polls come back from the field. So let's start out by being careful. I thought, when you said that she had him on the defensive, I think that was true for a lot of the night. I don't know how much that affects those aforementioned battleground state independent voters, undecideds, and the rest. But I didn't think that was notable. I thought he was really good pressing her on trade. Yeah. I thought he actually underplayed what ought to have been sort of more his line of the night, and what might be something approximating one of his slogans, which is, sure, you have a lot of experience, but it's bad experience, which is kind of what you alluded to when you said that he pressed her on the world getting worse on her watch.
My takeaway was that I didn't see anything different from, say, the primaries or some of the campaign speeches. There was no new material last night.
But here's the thing, though. One of Hillary's biggest problems throughout this entire cycle has been really how little people are listening to her policy proposals and to her speeches and to the rest of it, and how much they are consuming news stories about her unorthodox and improper email arrangement. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance that for a fair number of American voters, that was the first time they heard her talk about taxes, heard her talk about jobs, heard her talk about foreign policy. So that might make a difference. But again, we're really not going to know that. You should not be looking at the crazy, plus or minus 6% polls that right. get snapped out at you.
Not really the fireworks either that some may have expected or hoped for last night.
Yeah, that's right. There were definitely a couple of weird moments. I did not expect Donald Trump to declare that he had a great temperament and a better temperament than she did.
Yes.
That was a little surprising. I did not expect him to go in sort of this long riff about how he was not, in effect, not attacking Bill Clinton's personal life. I thought his answer on the birther question felt incoherent, and yet he had to know it was coming. So there were definitely a lot of curious moments. I thought she was not great at answering his point about getting allies to pony up more of the share for defensive military arrangements around the world. And as somebody who cares about foreign policy, I thought that was a little interesting. At the same time, I'm an inside the Beltway. I'm a well-to-do inside the Beltway reporter, right. So I'm not a target audience for either of the people.
We're speaking live this morning with Olivier Knox. He's chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News, talking about the debate last night from New York. He did not bring up the kind of baggage surrounding the Clinton Foundation. Why do you suspect that was?
You know, that's a really good question. There were a few things that didn't come up because the moderator didn't bring them up, which stuff like say abortion. Lester Holt did not ask about the Clinton Foundation. I was a little bit surprised, especially that seems to me like one of the things that he could use as a counterpunch. But she didn't press him on the Trump Foundation really either, just sort of on the generic notion that he is breaking with, you know, 50 years or 40 years of tradition of presidential candidates releasing their tax records. I think it might be in part because it is not super easy to distill all of those questions down to, part of a 2-minute riff on, you know, when voters care about jobs and they care about national security. I don't know that that's the best way to use your time.
Yeah. You mentioned the one line you thought that he used about her having experience being bad and that being bad experience. I thought he would go along the lines to playing up his business experience more by saying, hey, listen, I'm the only candidate. You want to talk about jobs in the economy? I'm the only candidate on this stage who's ever created a, you know, private sector job or something like that.
Yeah, he did some of that. I was surprised. I was actually surprised that it wasn't that she did not make it more of a referendum on that. She had that extended riff about the small business owners who were directly harmed by his bankruptcy.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised that we didn't hear more from both of these candidates about that. But I also was struck, you know, there's this old adage that if you're running for president, you don't want it to be a referendum on you. And you want it to be a choice or a referendum on your opponent. And I guess I came away feeling like we ended up talking a lot about Donald Trump last night. And I I'm not sure how that plays out, but you're right in terms of his business dealings. I actually thought she had the upper hand on his business dealings, and he had the upper hand on her record on trade.
The audience, I thought, really did well to compose itself at times last night. I just got the sense that they wanted to explode after some of the comments.
Yeah, they sort of broke protocol like 3 times, I think, right? There were, you know, cheers on one side, cheers on the other, and then sort of this collective laughter when Donald Trump declared his temperament to be the best temperament in the race. They were pretty good. I think a lot of people were talking about what moderator Lester Holt did, and actually I personally really enjoyed it when he sort of receded into the background.
Yes.
And we had these extensive back and forth. You know, it was an actual debate back and forth between these two candidates.
Yeah, I agree. They did a good job on that. And by that first time he tried to break, though, they went back and forth 3 or 4 more times before I think he was able to get a word in. But you're right. It was good debate stuff. Thanks for spending a few minutes, as always. Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. 15 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Dozens of protesters packed a Charlotte City Council meeting to demand the resignations of the mayor, police chief, and lawmakers in the wake of the police killing of a black man. Residents and activists, many of whom have participated in street demonstrations every day since the death of Keith Scott 1 week ago, said city officials were responsible for ensuring police officers treat everyone fairly and called on Mayor Jennifer Roberts, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Chief Kerr Putney, and members of the city council to step down. Reverend Trevor Beauford was one of the speakers who stood at the podium last night.
We need leadership that is willing to stand up and speak boldly for truth and justice.
The death of Mr. Scott, a 43-year-old father of 7, is one of the latest cases to raise questions about racial bias in U.S. law enforcement, even though the police officer who shot him, Brentley Vinson, is also black. Authorities have said Mr. Scott had a gun. His family says it was a book. Video footage has offered no clear evidence of either. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
President Donald Trump aggressively tried to pin the nation's economic and national security problems on Hillary Clinton in the first presidential debate, belittling the former senator and secretary of state as a typical politician incapable of delivering the change many voters crave. He also, again, questioned Clinton's health.
She doesn't have the look. She doesn't have the stamina.
It was the opening Clinton had been waiting for. She outlined her stamina as Secretary of State, travels to 112 countries, negotiations on peace deals, even the 11 hours she spent testifying before a congressional committee investigating the Benghazi situation. Then she turned to Trump's comments about looks.
This is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs.
Clinton went on to reference Trump's past remarks calling pregnancy an inconvenience for employers. Meanwhile, security made sure the Green Party's candidate wasn't anywhere near the podium. While Jill Stein was speaking with reporters outside Hofstra University, police told her she would need to finish her interviews and get off the campus since she didn't have the credentials to get so close. Fire crews in Northern California have turned their attention to a blaze in the Santa Cruz Mountains that has destroyed one home and is threatening hundreds of others. The shift in focus came after firefighters gained ground against a 2-square-mile wildfire near a geothermal power producing facility in Sonoma County. And NBA players aren't just worried about their teams as they start a new season. They're concerned for their country. The usual basketball cliches that dominate media days gave way to serious talk about social injustices and violence in communities, with players wanting to be involved in finding solutions but acknowledging they don't know how yet. At yesterday's media day, Nick Carmelo Anthony said the conversation must continue.
It's going to take everybody. It's going to take a village to make things happen. So it's one step at a time. I'm looking forward to continuing doing the work that I've started and I've created and seeing where it goes from there.
Anthony was among the highest profile and most outspoken players following the killing of black men by police in Louisiana and Minnesota in July, joining friends and fellow stars LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Paul in a powerful opening to the ESPY Awards back in July.
Put sports reporters in kind of an unusual position.
Yeah, it's right? a whole new ball game out there.
Not
right
talking
now.
X's and O's, yep. Right, or any of that stuff?
Yep.
Interesting to watch. Thank you, Jen. It's 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a health and wellness update, and it's brought to you by Rite Aid. Get your flu shot at Rite Aid today. Free with most insurance plans. Age restrictions apply in some states. See your Rite Aid pharmacist for details. Here's another example of how basic communication can seem so complicated in hospitals. A new report from a nonprofit says patient identification mix-ups are far too common and can have severe consequences. What's happening and what's being done about it? Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Melinda Beck, who writes about health issues. Melinda, explain what's going on here.
Mixing up a patient can create all kinds of problems. And unfortunately, it's really very common despite all the efforts to correct it.
I would imagine, though, in some of these cases, I mean, this could be deadly.
Yes. In two of the cases, it was. A patient who was having a heart attack was mistakenly not resuscitated because the care team pulled up the wrong records, and that patient had a do not resuscitate order. And somebody else was given an okay to undergo surgery based on the wrong patient's records, and he was found deceased in his hospital room the next day.
My goodness. All right, so is this still happening with, say, electronic files, or is this the old manual system causing problems?
This is caused by all kinds of problems, according to this report. A number of them happened because something went wrong with an electronic medical record, and sometimes that happens really right at the registration point when a new patient may have a whole new record created without anybody realizing that the patient already has a record, and then neither of them are complete. And sometimes a new patient gets entered into an old patient's record, and then you have two patients in the same record, and that can really cause problems. But a lot of these are just simple failures of looking at the patient's wristband, when a tray is delivered or somebody's wheeled off to have an x-ray, or the information on the wristband is wrong. These errors can really run the gamut of the whole healthcare system.
My goodness. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal health writer Melinda Beck. Her story is called Medical Record Mix-Up, a Common Problem, according to a new study. These mix-ups, are there suggested fixes from this new study?
Yes, many pages of recommendations, some of which are really pretty basic, like clinicians who go into a hospital room, now they frequently ask what the patient's name is. Sometimes they say, "Are you Jane Smith?" which is the wrong way to do it, because a lot of patients who are groggy, who may not be, totally focusing, will say yes, even if their name is Mary Pat.
Oh, boy. So
always ask the patient to state their name.
Thanks, Melinda. Wall Street Journal reporter Melinda Beck, 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office, as you know, are never convenient. So why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. It's no wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
You called it the gold standard of trade deals. You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
And then you heard what I said about it, and all of a sudden you were against it.
Well, Donald, I know you live in your own reality, but that is not the fact.
One of the exchanges during the debate last night at Hofstra University. More on that in just a moment. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka on this Tuesday, September 27. Welcome aboard. Some of our top stories and headlines, of course, the Trump and Clinton debate. Number one, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, bracing for historic flooding today. Houston police kill a man who opened fire on people near a shopping center. Protesters want the mayor of Charlotte and the police chief to step down. Disney and Microsoft reportedly considering buying Twitter. Elon Musk today will discuss living on Mars within 10 years. In sports, Falcons beat the Saints, and an emotional tribute to Jose Fernandez at the Mets-Marlins game. Let's get some debate analysis now about the messaging and nonverbal communications exhibited by Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump during debate number one at Hofstra University last night. We're joined now by public speaking expert TJ Walker, founder of Media Training Worldwide. He's with us live from New York. Morning, TJ. Start with the wardrobe for each. Is this what you would have recommended, say, if you were advising both?
the fact that I received very little criticism, heard little criticism, and can't even remember myself what they wore means they both wore exactly what they should have worn.
It's trickier.
Because you don't want to call attention to what you're wearing in a debate like that. The only minor thing I would say is, in general, I don't recommend candidates wear white shirts because they become so bright it takes a little emphasis off your face, and I think Trump had that. But beyond that, no one's talking about their clothes today, which is a sign that both dressed accordingly.
It is trickier for women, though, isn't it? For whatever reason, men just show up in a dark suit, and as long as the tie is fairly ordinary, all the focus becomes on what the woman wore.
Women get picked apart, and anyone who wants to pick apart this debate has so many other things to talk about. So Hillary Clinton camp, I think, is very happy with the fact that no one is praising or condemning her clothes from last night.
How about the messaging here? Could have been more negative, I thought, right? No mention of Trump University or, say, the Clinton Foundation. How did each do in delivering what they needed to get out?
Foundation didn't come up. Email was a very small portion. I think that the Clinton campaign has to be extremely happy with how much time was spent on things like suggesting Trump has never paid income taxes, all of his sexist commentary calling women pigs, the racism throughout his career. The messages were clearly on track with what the Clinton camp wanted, and Trump just spent way, way too much time defending himself, whether it was issues like whether or not he had supported the Iraq War that had been hashed or rehashed in the media, or relatively new ones that Hillary Clinton brought up, such as the fact that Donald Trump called one of his Miss Universe candidates Miss Piggy. And here's where homework and preparation comes in play. Hillary Clinton actually naming that young woman, giving her name, and it was quite an attack on Trump. So the issues clearly favored Hillary Trump last night.
What was the what do you think the tendencies were for each candidate, say non-verbally, maybe with facial gestures, when each kind of was getting squeezed by the other?
Well, Trump was doing what Trump does, which is if he doesn't get to talk, he rolls his eyes, he smirks, he grimaces. That served him very well in the Republican primary debates. And when you're on a crowded stage with 17 candidates just getting time can be an accomplishment. When it's just one-on-one and the camera's on you the whole time, it can strike a lot of people as excessive, disrespectful.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton mentions the black churches did before she could finish. He's rolling his eyes as if to suggest what an absurdity. Hillary Clinton kept composed. She had a little bit of a smile. She didn't frown. And I think she did exactly what she wanted to do. So you look at all these metrics, they weigh heavily in favor of Hillary Clinton. I don't think Donald Trump lost any votes last night, but it's hard for me to imagine that anything he said or did verbally or non-verbally added to his vote count.
Yeah. I'm not sure any decideds leapt on board with either candidate after watching last night either. We're speaking live this morning with TJ Walker, public speaking expert, founder of Media Training Worldwide, talking about the debate last night. So for next time, just 12 days from now, what would you advise both candidates?
Trump cannot defend. The old axiom in political politics is if you are defending, you are losing. He's going to have to come up with harsher attacks. And he's got to come up with something that is going to stick. To just say Hillary Clinton doesn't have stamina when she can turn around and say, I've been to 112 countries.
Yes,
and
she was prepared for that. Yeah.
It just doesn't really resonate. The Hillary Clinton camp, I think, has to be pleased with how she did. If they could just duplicate what happened tonight, be well prepared, have forceful attacks, come across as friendly and non-angry as possible, they have to be very happy. If they could continue, if they could have two more like last night, they would be extremely happy. Trump is going to have to retool and maybe even practice and rehearse, which is something he's known to absolutely abhor.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Good talking to you as always, TJ Walker, founder of Media Training Worldwide. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Twitter says last night's presidential debate was the most tweeted about political moment in the social media company's history. Donald Trump, the focus of 62% of the conversation on Twitter. Meanwhile, what were we searching for on Google during the debate? We're joined now live by Daniel Seaberg, Google Trends expert. Morning, Daniel. What were you guys sensing there during the debate?
Well, we actually saw that there was a reversal in terms of search interest with both of those candidates. So in this case, we saw Hillary Clinton had about 60% of the search interest versus Donald Trump, who had about 40% over the course of the night. But it was everything from people curious about different issues they weren't as familiar with. You know, when people heard like NAFTA or NATO or TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, these were the kinds of things that people turned to search to try to understand a bit more about, and would sometimes conduct something of a citizen fact check in real time, as they were second screening the debate.
You know, if you were searching for TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that was your first search of the night, by the time you were done reading, you might not have done, you know, had enough time for other searches.
Yeah, certainly it's a lot of information
heavy
to process
reading.
In a short amount of time, maybe bookmarking some pages for later to get more in-depth.
Right. All right, so what else was trending?
So, you know, we saw a good number of questions around each candidate. The top three for Hillary Clinton were, is stop and frisk unconstitutional? How many shootings in Chicago? And what happened in Benghazi? And then with Donald Trump, we saw, did Trump support the Iraq War? Also, is stop and frisk unconstitutional? And again, how many shootings in Chicago? So this ties into some of the broader themes that we saw, people interested in race, police, ISIS, the Iraq War. It was a lot of engagement around the issues that kept coming up.
Did this whole concept of him sniffling during the debate come up during searches on Twitter? Or were your searches more going to, you know, topical?
Well, we certainly saw... We saw questions around that. We saw questions around that, you know, in addition to some of the sort of more lighthearted stuff, like at the beginning, we saw questions around each party's color. So we saw, of course, that Hillary Clinton came out wearing something red, and Donald Trump had a blue tie. So there was, you know, some search interest around that. But, yeah, we saw questions around everything from what the candidates were wearing to some of their behaviors on stage and some of their mannerisms. But really, I think what's fascinating is that people had this intense interest around some of the issues and wanted to kind of understand more about what the candidates were saying, which, as you point out, is difficult to do in real time as you're trying to follow along with what's being said and yourself feel like you understand the context of what they're talking about.
Yeah, very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Good talking to you. Daniel Seaberg, Google Trends expert, with us live this morning. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Glad you're with us. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the first of three scheduled presidential debates, Hillary Clinton said Donald Trump must have something to hide for not releasing his personal tax returns and that he peddled a racist lie about President Obama not being born in the U.S. Trump hammered Clinton for supporting defective trade agreements and of engaging in foreign policy that weakened the country.
I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not? Join the debate by saying more crazy things.
Fact checkers turned up several discrepancies. Trump said Clinton called the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal the gold standard of trade agreements. Clinton denied that, but she did say that in a 2012 trip to Australia. Clinton accused Trump of calling climate change a hoax invented by the Chinese. He says he didn't, but his tweets show otherwise. Authorities say a gunman shot dead by police after he shot at people outside a shopping center in Houston was a lawyer who was apparently upset over the failure of his law firm. Nine people were injured, one of them critically, in yesterday's attack. Houston Police Homicide Captain Dwayne Reddy says the suspect was wearing military attire.
He was wearing a military-style apparel. I don't know exactly what nationality, what army, or anything like that. We did find some old Nazi emblems about some of his his personal effects.
The man's identity was not officially released. City leaders and the police chief in Charlotte are getting an earful about their response to the police fatal shooting of a black man. More than 100 people packed city council chambers last evening to demand the resignation of Mayor Jennifer Roberts and Chief Kerr Putney. And if you suffer from kidney stones, here's a fun way to get rid of them. Ride a roller coaster. Researchers from Michigan State University used a 3D printer to make a model with kidney stones and took off for Disney World, where the model rode Big Thunder Mountain. They discovered that the roller coaster frequently helped jog the stones from the simulated kidney. Sitting in the back of the roller coaster got the best results.
Stop. Is that right? It'd be an expensive way to do it, though.
Yeah, but
right?
It's supposed to be the most painful thing that could ever possibly happen. So if you can get rid of it once and for all, ride a roller coaster.
I guess so. Drink lots of water, right?
Well,
part of the thing to help
absolutely.
Out with that or prevent. Mm-hmm. So, thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. The news of Miami Marlins Jose Fernandez's death hit one of his fans especially hard because less than 24 hours earlier, she got to meet her favorite baseball player. CBS Miami tells the story of 20-year-old Christina Yanis, who met Fernandez at Marlins Park. She's a huge Marlins fan, used to go watch the team play, but a debilitating disease has taken its toll and made it difficult for her to make it out to any games. On Saturday, thanks to a Make-A-Wish program, Miami Fire Rescue crews transported Christina for the surprise of a lifetime. Christina said she's been Jose's biggest fan since his rookie year, and Saturday he presented her with a signed baseball bat and jersey and spent time chatting with her and the family. But after a day filled with so much joy, like so many fans, she woke up Sunday to the devastating news of his death in a boating accident. Christina said she plans to display her autographed bat and jersey in a shadow box. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.